This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with T. Xiaoyik and Lim Soo Ann. Here are our stories today.
Hari ini dalam sejarah, we will be taking a look at Sarawak's Independence Day 56 years ago and what is its relevance today.
And last Friday, a viral video showed two tigers roaming the streets of Dungun, Terengganu, but their tame behaviour raised suspicions that they were kept as pets. So we'll take a closer look at the dangers of keeping endangered wildlife as pets. Sorry. So on that note, you can also share any thoughts you have on either of those stories, any comments, by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
So before we get to our first story, well, it is Monday, so here is Blue Monday by Fats Domino.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Blue Monday by Fats Domino. Let's hope your Monday's not quite so blue. Now on to our first story.
That was very lively.
That's quite lively for a blue song. Yes.
That's right. So anyway, today, 22nd of July, is Sarawak's Independence Day. So it was on this date in 1963 that Sarawak was granted self-governance by the British. Sarawak, on this day, formed its first Supreme Council, with its first chief minister being Stephen Kalong Lingkan, who was then the chairman of the Sarawak National Party, or otherwise known as SNAP. Mm-hmm. However, this date was actually not officially recognised until very recently in 2016, when it was declared as Sarawak Day in honour of past leaders who sacrificed much for the state's independence. And it has since been gazetted as a public holiday in the state to mark Sarawak Independence Day.
So a bit of a history lesson here. So for 100 years, which is from 1814 to 1941, Sarawak was ruled by the British...
1841, sorry.
That would make it 100 years.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday, Suren, yes.
So Sarawak was ruled by the British Brooke family, who declared themselves the White Rajas. So after World War II, the Brooke family ceded Sarawak to Britain, and the state became a British Crown colony from 1946 to 1963. Mm. So shortly after independence from the British rule, which was in July 1963, Sarawak formed the Federation of Malaysia together with Malaya, Sabah and Singapore. And it's on 16 September.
Yeah, so Tunku Abdul Rahman's initial proposal in 1961 to form the Federation of Malaysia saw mixed reactions among the political parties in Sarawak. Mm-hmm. The Sarawak Alliance Party, which was a coalition comprised of native-based parties and the Sarawak Chinese Association, was pro-Malaysia, while the Sarawak United People's Party, or SUPP, which is a Chinese majority party, were anti-Malaysia. Mm. And in 1962, a five-man team of two Malayans and three British representatives, headed by Lord Cameron Cobbold, conducted a referendum amongst the Sarawakians on this proposed idea of the Federation of Malaysia.
Yeah, and that team later on, of course, went on to produce the Cobbold Commission report.
Right, yes.
But, you know, this so-called referendum, was it really truly representative of the people of North Borneo, as Sabah was then known, and of Sarawak? So if you look at the feedback that they received, of a combined total population of almost 1.2 million people in North Borneo and Sarawak at the time, the Cobbold Commission received 2,200 written letters and memoranda, which proportionately makes up 0.183% of the population. Mm. And 4,000 or so people appeared to give their views orally, and that 4,000 makes up 0.334% of the population. Let's really get down to the numbers. I mean, the point from this is that these written letters and the oral feedback actually only makes up 0.5% of the total population of Sabah and Sarawak.
Right. That's very low.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a referendum as we would actually call it. But from this, the final Cobbold Commission report concluded that approximately one-third of Sarawak's population enthusiastically supported forming Malaysia, another third were vehemently opposed, and the crucial final third of the population were yet to be convinced of the merits of the merger. But anyway, based on this, the Cobbold Commission decided that this represented an affirmative decision to proceed with the signing of the Malaysia Agreement, or otherwise known today as MAA. May 63.
And the Malaysian Agreement of 1963, as it's called in its long name, sought to protect the interests, rights and autonomy of the people of the two states, so Sabah and Sarawak, after the formation of Malaysia. So it included Sabah's 20 points and Sarawak's 18 points. And these points are collectively recognised together as the 20 points. So the 18 points from Sarawak were presented in a memorandum to the Intergovernmental Committee in their negotiations with Sarawak's incorporation in Malaysia. So these points loosely cover issues from religion, language, constitution, immigration, citizenship, and most importantly, the special position of Indigenous races and the right to secession.
Yeah, but many Sarawakians have actually long been unhappy with the federal government's neglect and failure to uphold these points. You know, and these points that are supposed to protect the rights and interests of the Sarawak state. So in the last few general elections, the MA63 has actually become a key political issue in Sabah and Sarawak politics. Some politicians in these states have called for a return to the original MA63 agreement. Others have called for secession from the Federation. And some have even claimed that the Federation was never valid to begin with because the British colonial authorities tricked Sabah and Sarawak into joining the Federation.
And some politicians are actually suggesting that the states should sue the UK government because it was the Cobalt Commission which came up with this recommendation. But that seems to be many steps ahead, to be honest.
And even equal status for Sabah and Sarawak still seems far from reality. So equal status with the Federation, with Peninsula. So recently on April 9th, we saw the Pakatan government fail to get two-thirds majority for the Constitution Amendment Bill of 2019, which sought to restore the status of Sabah and Sarawak as equal partners with Peninsula Malaysia, as was enshrined in the MA63. And the vote was actually 138 for and 59 abstentions and none against. So in a written reply in Parliament recently, Tun Mahathir has also said that there is no provision under the federal constitution, MA63, or the Intergovernmental Committee report that touched on any rights by Sabah and Sarawak to secede from Malaysia. So he also pointed out that the right to secede from Malaysia was also not suggested for the terms in Malaysia's formation, as could be seen in the Cobalt Commission report.
Yeah. So to help us better understand these issues from a Sarawakian perspective, we have on the line with us Francis Paul Sia, president of the Movement for Change Sarawak. Francis, what is the significance of July 22nd to Sarawakians?
July 22nd, 1963 was the day when the British allowed the country of Sarawak self-rule. Now, although Sarawak effectively remained a British Crown colony until 16 September that year when Malaysia was formed, July 22nd was considered the date of Sarawak independence. Now, I think you can agree that everybody loves to remember a day of significance, either for personal reasons or national pride. Now, hence, July 22nd was the day of Sarawakian joy and pride. But that lasted only July 22nd to September 16, 1963, when the new Federation of Malaysia was formed. And now we have September 16th, only recently recognized as Malaysia Day. Now, previously, all of us in Sabah and Sarawak also celebrated August 31st as Hari Kebangsaan or National Day. Now, that day is a day only of significance to the people in Malaya, but means nothing to us in the Borneo territories. So then we have three significant dates to celebrate our nationhood. That was, I think, certainly a bit confusing to the people of Sabah and Sarawak. Now, it was not until 2016 that our chief minister, the late Adnan Satem, decided to declare July 22nd Sarawak's Independence Day. Now, if you allow me to speak from my heart today, I actually consider today, July 22nd, quite meaningless to me. Now, why do I say so? Because I do not see Sarawak as an independent nation today. From a colony of Britain, Sarawak became a colony of Malaya. How do you call that independence? I honestly don't. you know. Now, I feel that Sarawak has been shortchanged by helping to form Malaysia from one of four equal partners in 1963. Sarawak has been reduced to one of 13 states in the Federation. Mm. The Malaysia Agreement 1963, or MA63, to me, is one big farce. If it wasn't a farce, then why are negotiations still going on between the federal and Sarawak governments to put back MA63 on track? So until and unless I, as a Sarawakian, feels that my homeland, which I love and treasure, is not being treated like a stepchild by Malaya, I honestly have to say this. July 22nd today is meaningless to me because the pride of nationhood is not there.
And what are your thoughts on the most recent failed vote on the amendment to the constitution, which sought to restore Sabah and Sarawak as equal partners?
About the amendment bill, I think last April. Now, politicians being politicians, they can never agree. Mm-hmm. Although I believe in the hearts of hearts, all the MP are aware that certain rights which have been eroded had to be given back to the Borneo states. But that was not seen to be so because there was little cooperation, although the recognition is there. Now, what we actually want is our autonomy. And all the rights enshrined in MA63 to be given back. Now, there is apparently existed that technical part of how to go about that. But happily, both the federal government and the Sarawak government are still negotiating on how best to put it forward.
And what do Sarawakians want with regard to autonomy?
Now, autonomy is something which is cherished by Sarawak. Now, we must understand that before Malaysia, we were ruled by the three right Rajas, the Brook Rajas, for 100 years, mm-hmm. where Sarawak was a kingdom and an independent nation with full autonomy over everything that existed on our soil. Now, what do we have left after being Malaysia? Okay, we have one significant autonomy, that is immigration. Apart from that, what else is there? So again, I give credit to the late Adnan Saffan for demanding greater devolution, including higher royalties for the state's oil and gas resources. Now, Adnan has consistently complained that the powers of the resource-rich Sarawak have eroded since it joined Malaysia more than five decades ago. Now, Sarawakians want the federal government to give your state a greater share of revenue from its own resources. And Sarawak's biggest demand, as I said before, is that royalties from oil and gas production be increased from 5% to 20%. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's very disappointing. We're waiting for the new Pakatan Harapan government to fulfill that promise. But up to this day, that has not been fulfilled. So, as I said, we are still waiting rather impatiently.
So how would you define your identity as a Sarawakian?
It's interesting that you ask this question because recently I've written an article in which I declare that I am a Sarawakian first, mm-hmm. a Malaysian second. And I tell you why. When I was born in 1956, there was no Malaysia, I was born a citizen of Sarawak, mm-hmm. a crown colony of Britain. My birth certificate has a stamp bearing the British crown, and featuring Queen Elizabeth II. I was not born a Malaysian. I was born a Sarawakian. Now, therefore, Kuching is my place of birth, and Sarawak is my homeland, and always will be. I believe that I owe every allegiance to my place of birth and my homeland. Now, this is very important. Now, whatever entity I was forced to be part of later without my knowledge or consent, that's the second precedence. Now, that is my stand. That is why, I have also been supporting the group in Sarawak, asking for a referendum. At least give the new generation of Sarawakians a chance, which they did not have, in 1963. You know, the Gen Y, must have the right to make a decision today. Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, even when I was overseas, I would even say that I am from Borneo. If people are unsure where Sarawak is, I do not mind describing myself as Bornean too, in conversation or in writing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So that was Francis Paul Sia, leader of the Movement for Change in Sarawak, giving us an idea of, you know, what this date as well as the Sarawak identity means to somebody from that state. Mm-hmm. I mean, admittedly, what we've talked about today is really just a very sweeping glance at Sarawak's independence from the British and its challenges under the Malaysian federal government over the years. We can't address a lot of the complexities of the issues faced by Sarawakians, but one thing that I gather from this is that I think in Peninsula Malaysia, we don't know about Sabah and Sarawak, their history, mm-hmm. as well as the challenges that they face. Mm. Even the significance of July 22nd and what it means, right? So that was just a brief roundup. And Selamat Hari Sarawak, I guess. It's
and let's perhaps all try and get to know more about each other.
That's right. Yeah.
We will be back after a short break. But first, here's Sibuh Kita Nangis by ZRV, a Sarawakian musician that has done the country proud on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.